You're listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. Tonight, we talk about Ridley Scott's Gladiator 2.
You, no trouble. Me, fifth element. Supreme being.
You will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death, praying for war. But until that day, you are cute. Sound off like you got a pair.
Yes, I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit or your money?
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
God is dead.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament, Mr.
Yes.
Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Dead.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes, the dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Welcome to the podcast, Movie Crew Podcast, Movie Makers Talking Movies. We're your host. I'm editor Brian Elkins. With me here tonight, cinematographer Jared Callen.
Ve Victus, Brian.
I don't know what that means. I don't speak that. Neither does Ridley Scott. Moving on. We also have with us director of photography, Mike Griggs.
What you do in one movie echoes in another movie.
Ooh.
Or does it? I don't know.
I don't know. We can talk about that. That's kidding me. It's not actually true.
Let's see how this night is already shaping up. We also have with us costume designer, Kristen Jones.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello. And if you guys are like me, you also hated Gladiator 2. Am I right?
Oh, I wanted to like it so much. I wanted to.
It was terrible.
I have so much to say, guys.
I want to hear all of it.
Why does this movie exist?
Why? Well, that was my question. That was literally my question. Like, why? What the fuck are we watching? This is like the sequelist of sequels.
Yeah, but it totally like writes off the first film.
Yeah.
Retcons some bullshit that doesn't even fucking make sense.
Yep. Or manner.
Dude, I don't know, man. Somebody say something positive, and then I'll come back at you with some bullshit. Let's see.
I really liked Denzel Washington and Pedro Pascal. I thought they oozed charisma and made acting look effortless.
And, yeah, I'll give you that.
And really made everybody else look like they were reading fucking goddamn lines off of cue cards next to the camera.
Dude.
I don't know that they made it look effortless so much as they were just better than everyone else in the film.
All right, maybe that's what it was. And I was just like, oh, yeah. look at the riz oozing from these fuckers. Damn.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Pedro Pascal's fucking character in full rage mode is incredible.
Yeah.
Like when he's in battle, that's what we want to see. He's absolutely in fucking credible. The worst part of this movie is that there's not more of his character. Actually, there's not more of any character, really. They don't build any fucking characters, really, in this. They rely on you remembering Gladiator and your love for that, and then they fuck that up as well. I'm trying not to be so negative, but it's hard to with this one.
This one destroys the first movie, that's why.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything that Maximus did in the first one didn't really matter.
Yeah.
But it mattered to him, though. So it made the first movie great, you know. The second one, like at the end of the first one, Maximus says, you know, free my men, give Rome back to the people, because that's what Marcus Aurelius wanted. And it leads you to believe that that's what's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
But they don't really tell you how it didn't happen. They just say, some two emperors are ruling shit, you know, and it's bad. Rome's about to fall.
Here we go. I think we can all I think we all witnessed, anyone over a certain age of like 20 maybe, has witnessed how there are cycles and different leaders come to power. And so I actually thought it was pretty believable. And I actually kind of enjoyed that nothing Maximus did mattered, simply because it shows how you can't just like die and everything gets solved. And I think a lot of people have that in mind of like, okay, this is my dying wish, so I don't have to do anything and it'll just happen.
Well, what's kind of cool about the first one is that Maximus is on a revenge trip, and his whole purpose is to basically die and go back to his family, but he can't do that until he kills Commodus. By winning and being a badass in the arena, then he is gaining the power of the people and making the emperor look like an idiot, right? In this new one, I mean, our main character really has no purpose except for to... His only purpose was to put Denzel Washington's character in power. What else?
You mean the character's purpose, or
the character's purpose? Like he basically he was the vehicle for Marcinus or whatever to win the bets to be able to get his foothold in the seat of.
Well, that was the story's vehicle to do it, but like the character's motivation, it was the exact same thing as the first one. Like, he was a general in a different army. He was captured, and then he wanted to kill the dude that fucking captured him.
And I don't think he was a general. He was just
he was a leader of their people.
I don't know. In that beginning battle scene, it seems like he's just talking to like the 10 guys that are beside him.
Yeah,
maybe.
A leader necessarily, but he is trying to get revenge for that battle because that's where his wife died, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But then this movie complicates that. You're not allowed to even like have that revenge joy because he wants to get revenge not against the person that killed his wife, but against Pedro Pascal's character who orders that somebody shoot the archer. Like,
yeah, that whole thing, you know,
that's weak.
Kill her now, you know, once she's like shooting. Out of all the archers on the fucking wall, we have to be like, no, 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 no. You kill her. You kill her now. You know.
But the crazy thing is, like, we're not going down and finding the archer that did that. We're going after the person that ordered it. What?
Yeah. You don't shoot the messenger. You shoot the. Yeah. That makes sense.
What? No.
Why
he's
am I
the
defending
messenger?
This
he's
movie?
Like,
come on.
Oh, man, no. It was. They take away like all the base like things that you have to root for a character, and they don't replace it with anything else. Like, the bad guys in this movie are, I guess, are the supposed to be the two emperors, but then they're a bunch of bitches, and then the movie's like, oh, no, look, really, Denzel Washington's the bad guy. And it's like, no, he's not really bad. In fact, he's doing the same, he wants the same thing that the main character wants, but just for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? I don't, the whole logic of this film is, I don't know, and it just robs you of any kind of joy you could have as an audience member.
Do you think they were trying to make all the villain characters a little bit more three-dimensional and give them more like motivation so you understand everybody's motivation and their perspective and why they're doing their shit, and they just maybe went a little too far or something? Like, or do you think the movie just doesn't understand who the antagonists are supposed to be in the grand scheme of the story?
I think Ridley Scott got scared because Joaquin Phoenix and Russell Crowe were in the hero-villain roles in that first movie, and their shadow looms large over the first production, and sure. I think Ridley Scott is worried that, like, I'm not going to find one fucking actor that's going to come in here and do just as good of a job, and it's not just going to constantly be compared, but if I take all these roles and I split them up and I have three villains, now we have a little bit something for everyone, and I'll give one big star, Denzel Washington, you know, a role here, and then these other two emperors will be like dumbasses, and if they don't work out, that'll be fine, because I still have Denzel Washington in the wing. Same thing with like a Russell Crowe. They take this fucking Paul Mescal or whoever. I don't even know who the fuck this dude is. Fucking no charisma. I mean, he looks like a buff dude, sure, dumb jock, and they're pairing him with Pedro Pascal, but they kill him off in the movie, so. He's not even on screen that long. Oh, that pisses me off. But I think that's what they're doing. They're splitting these roles up just so one actor doesn't have to bear the weight of that legacy.
I think what they were trying to do was they were trying to be clever, and they were trying to say, you think these guys, these two emperors who are so easy to hate, are the villain, but actually it's this other guy, except you don't. I don't think there's enough there to like really hate him and to really build him as the villain or as anything, really. I thought Denzel Washington's character was very lackluster as far as like him being, I don't know that he's the villain necessarily. I mean, in terms of this movie, sure. But I think that was what they were trying to do, was they were trying to be clever, and the writing just isn't there.
I don't know what I was supposed to feel from that.
But every time he was on the screen, I really enjoyed it. Like all of his scenes, he's chewing the fuck out of it. And I like his character a lot. It is definitely a breath of fresh air in the film.
I did not like his character. I just thought it could have been so much better.
What would have made it better for you, Kirsten?
Probably the writing. The writing.
Hmm. Like the lines that he had to deliver, like his dialogue specifically?
I think his dialogue could have been better. But also what I think was really missing was that interest, that cleverness. I don't think anything was really disguised in this movie. It seemed very lazy, very sloppy, very hastily put together. And I think it showed. And I think that is its biggest downfall. I mean, at least with the first movie, which I had some issues with the writing on that also. But at least with that one, you can tell there was a lot of care that went into it. This one, I didn't get that at all. It looked like a really cheaply done, made-for-TV movie.
Especially the special effects. Those baboons. Absolutely terrible.
Yeah, they were pretty cartoony and not in a super endearing way. Yeah,
that may be the worst visual effects shot of any wide release, theatrically anyway, this year. That was pretty terrible. We got a rhino, though. Hey.
The rhino was cool.
He finally got his rhino.
I did also enjoy that they filled the Colosseum with water and had a battle. Yeah.
I really liked that, actually. I was like, those are fucking sharks in the water in the fucking Colosseum. That's cool. Okay, well done.
Now, they say that they did do water battle stuff in the Colosseum, and I don't know how they did that, but I don't know how the fuck they would ever get sharks in there. I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah, that was the most ludicrous part. Like, how do they catch the sharks and then transport them? And, oh, there's like 8 of them. Like, cool.
And where's all the water coming from, and how does it get in there? They needed to show how they did it.
Slaves and buckets, Jared. Well, slaves and buckets. Oh,
that's a lot of buckets.
They had
aqueducts.
They had aqueducts. They had maybe not running water from a sink like we do, but they did have running water. I think that's possible. It showed how, the water spouted off the sides of the Colosseum, which I thought was
but how
really
did they
cool.
take the floor up? And then, like, later on, they show them, like, it's got the floor again, and they're raking it, you know, making it smooth.
Yeah, with the horses doing their little Zen garden.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know how a lot of the ancients did a lot of things. I think they have a bunch of TV shows about that.
Oh, Ancient Aliens? Yeah. That
cool. Maybe that was, like, a clean day, you know, a wash day at the Colosseum. Yeah. So they're like, you know, since we got the water and the suds, let's have a bubble bath war.
Yeah. They did just watch a little video about how the Colosseum had shade when it was a sunny day. And I did notice they had all the in this movie, they had all the scaffolding up, but they didn't have the shade to extend over it. So like they halfway did it. And I thought that was kind of neat. Yeah. So when they were doing the wide shots of the Colosseum in the movie, you have, of course, the arena, and then you had all of these poles basically are on across the top of it, and so when it was really sunny they would unfold a bunch of fabric to shade the arena.
It's brilliant.
It the lighting in the arena was better this time around. I liked all the different contrast of the crowd versus the center bit, you know. I thought that was kind of cool.
I remember actually thinking about the overhead stuff that you're talking about, Kristen, because one of the shots, like, it the shadows were like straight underneath him, like they're shooting at like high noon, but like in the background you could see all the people in the stands in shadow, and they had some other up shots where you could see the light kind of streaming through those the structure and the fabric over top, and I was like, all right, that's a pretty brilliant way to like do some interesting lighting things and also like kind of show some cool history production design stuff.
Yeah, I thought it was neat.
I wonder how many of those kinds of things are born out of like conversations with the cinematographer and what he wants to do versus like the production design versus like, oh no, this is a thing that Ridley just wants to put into the movie or whatever. Like,
yeah. Who also saw the documentary and was like, you know what we need in this movie?
Yeah. Yeah. Jared, what'd you think about the lighting in this? John Matheson's back 25 years later.
I listened to an interview with him recently and I really like him. And I think he did a pretty good job. It doesn't look as good as the first one, but I think for what he had to deal with, it was pretty good. He talked about, you know, modern films are shot so quickly that, you know, they let a lot of things slide, like boom shadows and cameras and shots and stuff, because you can just paint it out later. And also, you're trying to move so quickly that you don't have the luxury of stopping down, switching lenses. And so you don't get to use your beautiful Panavision primes they shot on mostly zooms. But what was kind of shocking is they shot on Ingenue Easy Ones and Easy Twos.
Stop. Are you serious?
Really, really cheap lenses.
Yeah, they are.
Like they're like, well, cheap in like, you know, compared to standard cinema lenses. They're only like, you know, $12,000 to $14,000 a piece. Very weird. And I think that that's why some of the film looks the way it does. There's some really bad out-of-focus stuff. Like, one of our most pivotal moments of the film is when Lucilla goes in and she talks to what's his name? Lucius.
Yeah.
About being his mother. And then she drops the biggest bombshell ever that he is fucking Maximus's son, which is bullshit and not true. And we'll talk about that in a second. But when she delivers that line, she's completely out of focus. Like all of her return shots there are just completely soft. And man, I just cannot believe that they would let that slide like that. Like the biggest crux of our film right here, and she's completely soft.
That sounds like a focus puller asked for another one, and Ridley says, "I really liked that performance. We're going to use it anyway." And you know, that's what ends up in the edit.
It's just really heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But same scene in the first one.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we're in the jail cell, and Lucilla's talking to Maximus, and Maximus is like, "My wife and son are dead," and she's like, "Well, my son is still alive. You know, it doesn't that account for something or whatever?" And that's the moment she would have said, "And he is your son too," to give him fucking hope and make him fight, because all of Maximus really gives a fuck about is getting back to his family, getting his revenge, and getting back to his family. So, and also that fucks all that up as well, because if Lucius is Maximus's son, then that means he was having an affair on his wife.
Yep. Yeah. At the same fucking time.
At the same fucking time.
I was thinking about that today.
But that's not a motivation that we have in the first fucking movie.
No,
you can't
not.
Retcon this to try to fucking make us care about this fucking character that we give two shits about and tell us that he's fucking Maximus's son when that was not stated at all in the first one. And it doesn't hold any fucking water at all.
It doesn't need to either. Like, the point of it is, like, you could be a badass and become a gladiator, you know? Like, the fact that he was from this other country, and, like, even if he was literally Lucius and just the kid that we knew from the first one, it doesn't matter whose dad he was.
Right.
Because, like, Maximus talks about, oh, I knew your husband. I thought he was a good man or whatever.
She says like, that shit. She's like, your name was on his lips when he died. He was fucking telling you that your son will be safe now. I did that for you, not for fucking him because he's my kid. Are you fucking kidding me? Man, that's the biggest thing that burns me up about this film is that retcon.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, it's stupid.
It's stupid.
It's unnecessary.
Yeah, like, totally not needed.
It feels demeaning to the audience is what it feels like to me. Like, do you just not believe that we would care about a character that you put on screen if they're not somehow fucking connected to another character that we know and love? Like, have we just got – is that like a studio note that they were like, yeah, you can totally make this movie, but let's just go ahead and make him Maximus's kid, right?
Well, we talked about it in the last podcast that, you know, it's possible, but it would only made sense if she would have said it. It would be actually, if they would have said it in the first one, it would have been great motivation for him to go back into the arena and fight, because he's like, holy shit, I do have a kid that's still alive.
Yeah, but then that muddles your fucking the morality of your character.
Motivations.
And your motivations. Exactly, you're like, wait, what? So he's going to die. Who does he even really fucking love? I don't know.
Right.
Does he even care?
See, that's
about
what we
people?
Liked about Maximus. We liked about Maximus is that he's fucking
pure. He was Mad Max,
he's pure,
bro.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's a good blood bag.
I was thinking about the first one, but yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Or Fury, bro. Sure.
I think the other thing that's really sad is that. I mean, when I was watching it, let's pretend he is the son, since that's what we're going with in this movie. You know, they were both fighting for a cause, and they both lost, and they were both captured, and now they're forced to fight for entertainment. And I just thought that was heartbreaking to have two people, father and son, who both failed in their mission and are now fighting to the death for entertainment, for the people, the common people's entertainment. I mean, in addition to everything you guys just said, like it's not something to aspire to. And I don't want to, it pains me to like root for them. Cause I'm like, are you just going to have another kid who's also going to become, you know, a slave? Like, what are we talking about here?
I mean, how can you root for him? He's just such a whiny little fucking emo brat little fucker. It's like, I don't want to fight for your entertainment, me. I'm just like, dude, shut the fuck up. God, you are such a whiny bitch. Fuck. God,
no,
you're
Brian,
an insult.
He has a rage in him. Rage.
Just like, please, get this fucker off the screen. God, fucking hated that guy. This guy's going to show up in everything now. Fuck!
Yep. Well, there's the biggest problem is that he didn't actually go and kill all of the, you know, the emperors in the line, because still Dondas is still there. So we got to have a Gladiator 3 where he goes and he has to fight
the
Dondas.
Monkey.
Yeah.
Oh, the monkey takes him out, and then like the Gladiator 3 is like, first time it was humans, second time it was two humans, now it's just one monkey.
Right.
Monkey Emperor. All right. Okay, I'm down. It would be a better movie.
That's
All Hell Dondas.
The direct to Netflix movie.
We'll drop the rating to PG. It's like Dunstan Checks In, but with Romans, you know? And the Colosseum instead of a hotel. Yeah, just like that.
It would have been great. Ensues.
It would have been great if Denzel Washington had like broken Dondas's neck as he stepped out to get on that horse. He takes them all out, you know, just to make sure.
You see him step on something, you can't quite tell what it is, but you hear a crack, and then in the wide shot is you just see the tail. Like,
oh, and Macrinus does that smile that he does, like, you know, like.
Oh my god.
Yeah, no, Denzel Washington is the best thing in this movie, man. Yeah, he's got that him killing that emperor is the best scene in the whole fucking film.
What, when he leans over and the guy's like, help me, and he just fucking like grabs his hand and starts slicing his neck.
Takes the dude's fucking hand.
Yeah.
Just shoves that knife.
Just sawing it. Just sawing it.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, it's so good. That's where my compliments start and stop.
You didn't like the needle pin in the ear of the other one?
Sure, it was fine. Man, I was incredibly bored with this movie. I actually fell asleep during the Roman fucking the big battle with all the sharks and the boats. I totally fell asleep in that scene. I can't tell you the last time that's happened to me.
Some dudes fell in the water and got eaten by sharks.
Yeah, I saw a guy got eaten by a shark.
Fell in the water and got eaten by sharks.
And then I woke up when they were shooting
more
crossbows.
Dudes fell in the water and got.
No, then the boats collide. They battle or whatever, and then someone shoots an arrow and almost hits the emperor in the
head. I saw that part.
Arrow. Yeah,
I saw. Yeah, I missed the boat fighting.
It was like Assassin's Creed, but like on screen with the boats and the. Never mind. The video game.
Brian, we need a boost of energy. Can we watch the trailer?
God damn it. Do we have to watch? All right. We're going to play this mediocre. Actually, the trailer's better. We're going to play the trailer for Gladiator 2. We'll be back.
It is an art, choosing gladiators. They're usually prisoners of war.
Reclaim this city for the glory of Rome.
You have something in you. Rage. Never let it go. It will carry you to greatness.
I own you now.
But whose head could I give you to satisfy your fury?
The general will do. Rome has taken everything from me. But I will have my vengeance.
There is plenty of pain waiting for you in the next life. I don't know why you are so greedy for it in this one.
Your Majesties.
This is your gladiator.
It is.
I have the trust of the Emperor.
It will clear my path to the throne.
You will be my instrument.
I will never be your instrument. In this life or the next.
Lucius, take your father's strength. His name was Maximus. And I see him in you.
Most fighters won't survive.
You must help him.
Strength among us! I don't fight for power. I fight to free Rome from men like them.
Your name will be forgotten!
To restore order, I must have power.
Everything is forgotten in time. Empires fall, so do emperors.
This is war! Real war!
The odds are against you.
The odds are always against me.
Ready to ramp!
All right, we're back. That was the trailer for Ridley Scott's Gladiator 2.
That was the whole fucking movie in the trailer.
Why did they say that lie in the trailer too? I'm glad I didn't watch that trailer. I probably wouldn't have watched the movie. I would have skipped this week.
It does say it's the final trailer. I don't remember seeing that one in theaters. I don't know.
Why would you give away the fucking Darth Vader fucking ending?
Yeah, like, no shit.
Like that.
Studios now, man. They don't believe anyone will come to a movie unless they know the exact plot of the entire fucking thing before they walk in the goddamn theater. I don't understand it. Every trailer does that now.
I thought the trailer wasn't bad. It's better than the movie.
Because it was the movie. If this trailer was the movie, like, it was a pretty interesting movie.
Yeah, just extended a little bit, and yeah. I enjoyed it.
Give me the 6-minute version of this.
Yeah, maybe 10, you know, 10, 20 minutes. Yeah, that's all I need.
I don't know.
10.
The 2.5 was better than, 2 hours.
I don't know. There's some good action in the movie at times.
Yeah, I don't really
care about
that.
There's good set pieces in the movie.
Yeah, yeah. Man,
I thought most of it was boring. Like, there were the only time during a battle scene that I really, like, fist-pumped the air was when Pedro Pascal in the very beginning. Like, I don't know.
When he's like, fucking move, I'll make it get down.
Cut the drawbridge.
And yeah. He takes the shield and he just goes up there himself like a fucking badass. And all his men fucking respect him. And you're like, dude, this guy's a star fucking Gladiator too. What the hell? And then you're trying to pass him off as the bad guy? Oh, come on.
Yeah, I was also confused as to why Pedro Pascal was the bad guy. I was like, what are they doing here? I don't understand.
He's like everyone else. He's put in a position that he has to deal with. Just like Maximus could never leave war. Pedro Pascal's character, Acacius or whatever. Just doing what he has to. He always has this like forlorn look on his face. He hates everything that he does. He's just doing it. And I love his fucking line when the conspiracy gets like found out and they're standing in front of the emperors and he's like, torture me if you want, but do not lecture me. I fucking love that.
Yeah, I'm so fucking over your bullshit. Like, kill me now, but please, for the love of God, stop talking.
And I think that's the only backstory piece I really, really like, too, is when it's revealed that he's married to Connie Nielsen's character from the first movie. It's just like, oh, that's nice. And look, that's all the connection I needed to the first Gladiator. I didn't need...
Same.
I didn't need Lucius.
I agree with that. But also the way they... all the direct parallels that they did to the first movie, I thought were so overdone. Like, it was not cute or clever. I did not need any of that. Like, at one point, I was like, wait, is this a sequel or are they redoing the first movie?
Yeah. It was like, J.J. Abrams sold my beer. Let me remake another movie. But it's Ridley Scott. He did it to himself. Like, what the fuck? Did he just want... He's like, you know what? I haven't done in a long time, Gladiator. Why don't I do that again? Well, we could make a second one. No, I'm just going to redo Gladiator.
You can slap a 2 at the end of it if you want.
And I also... Well... And I also thought it was so funny because, you know, the first one you have actually a very strong female character, even though the script is pretty anti-woman. But in this one, you have like a strong, you know, supporting script, like, oh, let's make his wife a warrior and let's do all mm-hmm. this cool stuff, mm-hmm. but like completely take away any woman's voice. They either die or they're just reduced to nothing. Like the I forget her name, the main female character in this is just like so dull and does nothing. And honestly, it was so bizarre to me to see her face all done up with modern plastic surgeries and injections and whatnot, but she's in this like ancient Roman garb. I thought that was interesting. But yeah, no, she couldn't act. She didn't have anything to really do or say, nothing of consequence. I mean, I was very disappointed, but it's okay that they don't have female characters, because right, the Lucius's wife was a warrior, so they support women.
Except they don't.
Right.
Well, this is only supposed to be 16 years after the last one, but it's actually been, you know, 24.
Yeah. Oh, in the real world. Okay, yeah. I was like, so, wait, what?
So I guess she's trying to make herself look a little younger by 9 years.
I don't know. The timeline of the thing just felt very arbitrary. Like, I think this could have been a really interesting movie if they were just like, this is another version of Rome, like 25 years later. And it's totally different people. You don't know anybody. Like, Rome is about to get fucked up. Like, you could have just had, what's his name, Jacoby, like the fucking senator, be still hanging around. And that would have been enough connection. Or it didn't have to be connected at all. Like, it could have just been another Gladiator movie with a similar storyline. And like, why do we have to do all these things to, like, fucking arm wrestle it into being a direct sequel when it was an interesting original concept in the first place, and that's what we loved about it. Like, why not make it another interesting original characters?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess if you make it Gladiator 2, people just have to have the same returning characters. There are very few franchises that, like, you lose or your main characters switch out, you know, every episode.
Your main character fucking dies at the end of the first movie. How do you make a second one in the first place? Like, make it totally different. Like, if this can be a second one, this is the perfect way to have it not be the exact same fucking thing. How did this movie become so recycled?
Well, and I think it makes sense if you're going to make a sequel to make it from the point of view of the son. But the way they did it, yes, is just recycled. It's not interesting at all.
Maybe that's really what my problem is. If he wasn't supposed to be fucking Maximus's son, if he was just like the Lucius that we knew that was from some other dude's dad, you know, and like he looked up to Maximus, he remembers meeting him, and then he fucking hears about him again, and now he's a gladiator, and holy shit, that's his armor. I met that dude. Like, that's super inspiring. That would have been fucking interesting, because you're a nothing going to something. This whole, like, no, we have to fucking force it into everyone's a goddamn Skywalker. Come on, like, this isn't fucking Star Wars.
Why did Lucilla send fucking Lucius away to begin with?
Who fuck knows, bro?
That makes zero sense. He was next in line. He should have fucking, like, been put into the role, you know?
Well, I think, if I recall correctly, right? Like, wasn't he sent away because they were about to... they hadn't technically overthrown anything yet. They had to make sure the city was safe. And then he was supposed to come back. But then, like, he never came back. Was that what I heard in this movie?
She never sent for him after she sent him away.
She never sent for him? I mean, that doesn't sound accurate.
It makes no
sending him away
sense.
Makes sense. Sending him away makes sense. That is something that people did. But, you know, I mean, and people still would for to protect their children, right? But to not send for them makes no sense.
No, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I need to see, like, an assassination attempt on the kid's life first before mom sends him away. Like, and yes. Like, there needs to be something before the mom is just like, oh, yes, you would be better away from
it's
me
like
than
instant.
With me?
As soon as fucking, like, you know, Maximus isn't even cold yet. Yeah, he's and like, she's sending fucking Lucius away.
Is Lucius safe? And she's like, yes. All right, are you dead? All right, get that kid out of here. What? What? I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. It just... And then they don't explain, like, how these emperors came into power. And so, like, everything is just, like, they just reset the universe. I guess to go back to the Star Wars thing, like, Mike, it's just like, boom, First Order just popped the fuck back up. Who the fuck are these guys? Yep, First Order. You know, don't worry about it.
When Lucius comes back in, he says, you know, I don't have a mother and all that. He plays like he doesn't know who he is, but then that turns really quickly and he's like, I know who I am.
Yeah, he's just being a little bitch. Yeah, that's why when his mom comes, he's like, I hate you. That scene is so terrible. God, I hate this guy. I'm sorry, I hate how the character is written and the actor portraying him is doing a terrible job on screen, and it's
dude,
so bad
when he's doing his like speech, when he's like trying to rally the troops. And I remember saying this on the first one, it was kind of weird how Russell Crowe looks smaller than all the other guys, but
yeah,
we actually care about him because he's a badass. We've seen him like do really badass things, and this guy, I just don't see anybody following him. I know he bit the arm of a monkey and everybody's ooh, 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 doing all that. That was a cool little moment, but I just don't see him leading these people.
Certainly not as quickly as he did it, because he was there for like literally a week.
Well, he's
Maximus
not a general.
At least had
he's just
months.
A fucking army
yeah.
guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, this is where the movie like just becomes this arbitrary journey that we've seen before, so we're going to do it again without even like this time we're just kind of skipping the steps that would make it believable that we're going to these places.
Maximus had been leading armies for fucking 20 years at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, yeah, that was not new for him.
That was his whole thing.
I think that's the all, you know, Denzel Washington's whole like, you go to rage and your boy. I think that whole speech is supposed to be like, he's got special rage powers, dude, and that makes him really good at killing. I think that's so there to justify that. I don't know. Why else is it in the movie?
I do like when he's like, when Lucius is like on heroin and and he comes in when fucking Macronus comes in and he's like, you know, talking to him and fucking Lucius is all like goofy eyed. I love that. Chasing the dragon. What do they call it? The devil's breath.
That doctor dude was actually like, could have been really interesting. He was like, I thought he was an interesting character that like they kind of started implying could be more interesting, and then they just didn't go anywhere with him. He just like, oh, you're going to be the thing that goes and makes the next part happen.
He was Oliver Reed's son.
Oh, okay. No, that's why he seemed slightly familiar. No.
You need to do that with all the characters. They got to be somebody's kid.
Oh.
Dude, there was a minute there that I thought when Denzel Washington's like, I used to be a slave, and I was like, if this motherfucker is like supposed to be old ass Dijon Houston or whatever the fuck his name is.
Oh, Zaman Haju, that character? Yeah. He's like, yeah. That would have been incredible.
That.
Dude, if that was him and like he goes back and he actually wants to turn things around.
It did seem like, I don't know, they were going down that rabbit hole, you know, for a second there. And they were like, oh, you know what? That's too far, guys. We got to pull back now.
Dude, that would have been good.
I've worked with Marcus Aurelius. Oh, okay, cool.
What'd you guys think of the final battle between 70-year-old Denzel Washington and a spry 28-year-old Paul Mescal?
The arm chop off was fucking gnarly.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, great. Yeah.
But it was kind of over really really quick.
Well, it's kind of weird how Maximus's armor is fucking, you know, blade proof.
Well, he was stabbing through water, which would slow it down a little bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I guess.
It wasn't that deep, Mike. He was like,
he was a foot pushing, down.
You know, and then it kept like clinking, like he's hitting the fucking horses on the chest.
Yeah. Every time I see that armor, it looks like that plastic shit that we had when we were kids.
It's really thick, you know, leather, you know.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Apparently it was made out of metal because it makes the sound underwater.
Yeah, that's the sound leather makes underwater. You don't know that? It's very tinny.
It clinks.
I did like when he dies, you have like the blood in the water. I thought that was neat.
That was really great. I think it's really strange that in these movies where you have like crowds of people standing around watching things like that happen, and they're just waiting for a shift of power to happen so they could be told what to do.
Yeah, that's
those fair. Are always really weird. Yeah.
I was thinking a similar thing when the dude was like giving his speech to both sides of his fucking army or whatever, and he keeps turning and like talking to the other people. And I'm like, every time you turn your head, the other people can't hear what you're saying anymore.
5,000 people can't hear shit.
Like, yeah, people are all you hear.
What did he say? There's one guy like passing it back.
Well, you don't see anybody in the crowd rubbernecking either. They're just like, yeah. I can't see. You're too tall. Down in front.
It's more to the main guy, you know, the leader of each group is like sitting there like staring and nodding, yeah. You know.
Honestly, it annoyed me that he was supposed to be like projecting to all these people and he's just talking in like a normal volume. He's talking No, but that's what I'm saying. Like he wasn't even like, at least when Maximus was speaking to like his troops, he was speaking with like from his diaphragm. He was projecting. So and there's a difference in the way that the voice sounds when you're doing that, and you can tell that someone is trying to be loud. And he was talking at like a fucking normal level, and it was like nobody can fucking hear this guy. What the hell? We're just gonna movie magic it and like believe that it's fine. Okay, that's cool. Come on. Was he alone on set that day? Like what the hell?
Denzel Washington's like, I'm done with this kid. No more. Not doing any more scenes with him. Just give me a cardboard cutout.
I'll have act better than that.
This guy's like the new Jai Courtney.
Oh, God, no. Please let him die faster than that guy. His career, sorry, not him, actually.
I was like, Mike, that's dark.
Damn, Mike. You know what? Fuck this guy. Hope he dies.
Somebody mad. Look, I think you'd have a really great life as a lumberjack, and I wish you all the happiness. Just please get off my TV screen.
Yeah, I've never seen anything this guy's done. I just looked at all this.
Yeah, I looked him up while I was watching him because he was so fucking boring. I was like, have I seen him somewhere? Nope, I got nothing.
He is a dumb jock. He's a footballer.
They go to school.
I'm just saying, I'm just saying he looked like a dumb jock. He actually, you know, maybe he's not dumb. He could be very smart, but he definitely looks like he's had his nose broken is what I'm saying. Come on.
You're not wrong.
Does anybody got anything else?
I don't know. I feel like we should talk more about cinematography.
Ugh. And how bland it is.
It is kind of boring in this. Like, I wanted it to be more interesting, but there's a lot of, like, darkness that's just kind of all at the same sort of contrast level. Like, some of the shots are interesting, and I like all the atmosphere, the color, like, the pickup shots and stuff. But, I don't know. The thing I loved about the first movie is, like, every single light is like going through some kind of cookie. There's all these like interesting shadows on fucking everything. It's all hard light and shadows and contrast, and there's very little of that in this movie. And I don't know if it was just like, well, that's the trend these days where you're just like everything is like down at 30 IRE and it's just like super compressed like contrast and there's not much going on or whatever. But I don't know. Jared, what'd you think?
I think they got it done. You know, I've seen
the
it
nature
twice.
Of shooting seven cameras at once.
Yeah, which the DP hates. He did make a really funny remark. We talked about in the last podcast that they shot like 50 ASA film,
yeah.
Which you need like tons and tons of light. And he kind of does a little Snyder mark, and he goes, you know, all these modern DPs, you know, back when we shot Gladiator, we were shooting at like, you know, 50 ASA or 200. He's like, I'd like to see these modern DPs accomplish what we did on that one. you just need so much light.
Yeah.
I've seen the movie twice, and I saw it in a little shitty theater and then a theater in Memphis. And man, my second viewing looked really bad. Like the screen was washed out. Everything was lifted. It didn't look good at all. But it looks good when I saw it in Memphis, though. I thought overall the image quality was pretty good, except for the random buzz focus stuff and all that.
There was a lot of day for night in this, and
yes,
all of that stuff was really bothering me because there's like a fuck ton of mid-tone contrast stuff that's happening. I've seen that in so many movies and TV shows over the last like 3 or 4 years where like, oh, let's do day for night and then crank the fuck out of the mid-tone contrast just to get more definition or some shit. And it looks awful. Did you notice that? Did you see like all of, like,
I saw the day for night stuff. They used them as connecting shots to get into night stuff. So yeah, those shots didn't really match that well, but
no, they didn't.
It was fine.
I don't know. I feel like it's a color grading trend that's driving me crazy because I see everybody doing it and it's so unnecessary and it looks really gross.
I was just more fucked up with the story and actually got, you know, I was letting all the camera stuff slide.
Well, when I saw a camera H assistant camera in the fucking credits, I was like, damn, okay, that explains all the coverage shots of everything.
Well, you can't do proper lighting when you have so many cameras rolling. You just have everything's just lit. Yeah. What about you, Kristen? What did you think of all the wonderful costumes? You can't say that Pedro Pascal's white, like, fucking ceremonial dress wasn't incredible.
Yeah, it looks nice. Yeah, no, like there's some cool stuff in here. It's I know I have said that it's lazy and recycled, and it is, but it also looked nice. I think the one thing both of these movies have in common is that they just look outstanding. Mm. But not counting the CGI, like that looked really bad. I'm talking about like the practical
stuff. You know,
the production Commodus, design and the costumes. And
yeah.
Yeah. Commodus was always wearing really cool outfits, but these Emperors, they've got like the fucking sheet with the slit cut in the top, you know, with like gilded like edges a lot, you know, kind of like just loose. I don't know if they I didn't really dig their costumes.
Their makeup was pretty heavy.
Yeah, they did
trying
have
to
heavy
make
makeup.
Them look super sickly.
Was it? Is that what they were doing?
Well, they talked about they wanted to do that with the first one with Joaquin Phoenix.
I thought they succeeded with Joaquin Phoenix. With this one, I didn't get sickly. I got more like they're just young and immature and irresponsible. It reminded me kind of like what they were doing with Kirsten Dunst and Marie Antoinette, where they use like the dyed hair and the eye makeup to show you that this is just like a kid who doesn't know what he's doing. Mm. That's what I got. But Jared, were they trying to make him sickly in this too? Because if they did, I feel like that did not come across.
Yeah, no.
As much.
I also, like Kristen, read it as they were immature and young, and that's why they're fucking stupid and assholes and fucking everything up. Yeah.
Yeah, especially contrasted with Joaquin Phoenix. His eye makeup, I thought he did look sickly, or at least not healthy. He did not look well.
He didn't look well.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we just got, I don't know. The character building was just so much better in the first one. We actually got an arc with him. We get to see him change. This we cut in and they're just there, you know, and we take them as what they are.
Yeah,
there's nothing beyond. You know, we get a little bit of arc with Macrimus, but I don't know.
Well, sometimes you need to like just start in a place, and like we don't necessarily need backstory. Like we understand who they are, but the fact that they don't really go anywhere, like they're part of the story, they seem integral to the story in the sense that like everyone is trying to, you know, fuck with the whole empire,
but everyone is always trying to fuck with the empire. I mean,
yeah,
but yeah, no one really has any sort of character arc. And I think the other thing that this movie is lacking is the next generation, where you are hopeful that something good will come of it. You know, like the first movie, you had Lucius and you're like, oh, he just saw all this happen and he has a good mother who's going to advise him. And, you know, he has Maximus who's going, he just saw all this and Maximus will guide him. And in this movie, you're just kind of like, oh, okay. Well, that was fun.
Yeah. If this had been like a different director, that would have been an interesting take on like, yeah, hey, parents, remember when you thought like dying and leaving it to us was enough? Like, fuck off. It wasn't. Like, we're still fucked and we don't know what to do. Why is Ridley Scott the one retelling this same story? Mm-hmm. It just doesn't have the same context. It doesn't have the same hit. Like, what? Like, I don't understand.
I just think that they like focus too much on trying to do Lucius. Like, they could have done that, but just lived more in the politics world where we have Lucilla and fucking Pedro Pascal, and we're like getting more of their backstory and about how they're trying to take it down from within.
Yeah.
But then you also still, you could still build on Macrinus's whole thing and him trying to raise on the other side. And then he goes and finds himself a gladiator, you know, like just live more in that side of it and build that up a little bit. I just feel like we just lost all of that. They just didn't build these characters properly, and that's just where it really fails for me. And then beyond all the bloodline bullshit that they didn't need to do.
Yeah, it kind of feels like you're just supposed to root for these people based on what philosophy they're espousing, you know, and where do you line up with? And that's not what makes you take sides. That's not what makes you care. That's not what keeps your interest. Right. It's just again lazy.
when Pedro Pascal gets hit with fucking 30 arrows is pretty hardcore. I do like when he falls and they all snap under him and some of them push more into him. Incredible. That was really
That looked really good actually. Yeah. I was pretty impressed with that. Like finally a realistic portrayal of.
Yeah, if you fall back, you always see people getting hit with arrow and they fall back. You know. Yeah.
Ratings?
Speak to me, Father.
I don't know. I ask a question. You just answered my question with a question?
I don't know. I'm just referencing that last shot. Let's just talk about that for a second.
Oh, man. What? Dude, I got up and walked out. Whatever. When I came on the scene, I was like, fuck you.
You didn't stay for that?
Fuck you. Got up. I was out. And then I stayed. I was like, oh, hold up. Let me see if there's anything else. And they cut to black. And I was like, yeah, okay, good. Fuck you.
You were already standing at that point?
Oh, yeah. I was like in the aisle toward the exit door.
Wow.
Remind all of us listeners what happened.
Oh, it's incredible. Like, Lucius goes back to where his mother had died with an arrow in the chest, just like his wife. And he goes out and he stands next to the parade float that she was on and, like, rubs a little blood on his hands. And he gets down and he digs the dirt up in his hands, which the grains of sand are larger than they're supposed to be, which is a little weird.
And then that's gravel. It's always been like that.
I don't know. If you see Maximus when he does it, it's finer.
That's fine. Yeah, fair.
Okay. Because even finer when they do it earlier, because like that's how he does that, and then when the rhino's running at him, he makes a giant cloud of dust. Anyways. There's this like really low angle shot where you see the top of the fucking of the Colosseum, and they do a sky replacement with like clouds rolling.
Purple-y.
And they bring in the score, and he goes to speak to me, Goose. Speak to me. You know, same shit from fucking Top Gun Maverick. It's pretty cheese.
And then they cut back to fucking Russell Crowe's hand going through wheat for some reason.
They go through the wheat field. Yes.
Why? Wait, how?
Quintessential shot, bro.
How is he having the same dead memory? What is going on? What is happening right now?
And the shot of that wheat field and all of that is like on the land of Maximus's like other family. So we're seeing images of the other family.
Dude, I know. It's so stupid. Yeah.
The infidelity that like happened where Maximus is actually a piece of shit.
Are you my new mommy? Are you my new brother?
Oh, man.
Family reunion in Elysium. You know? That's what Gladiator 3 is going to be. Anyone got anything else? Come on.
Nope.
Who wants to go first? Who's rating Gladiator Dose?
With over twice the budget and half the story.
Three times. Gladiator. Three times the budget.
Three times the budget, half the story. I'm going to give Gladiator 2 a 6. It probably deserves way less. I enjoyed some of the battle stuff was good. I love seeing Pedro Pascal on fucking screen. He really saved the movie for me there a little bit. Also, fucking Denzel Washington's fucking great. Those two performances, like you said early in the pod, Ryan, they're the redeeming factors of this film. This should have never fucking happened to begin with. It's a lackluster legacy sequel that I will probably never watch again.
What'd you give it?
A 6.
Damn.
Which is high.
High. That's really, really, really low for you, Jared.
It is.
Yeah.
That's how much I hate this.
I feel it. I feel it in every fiber of the 6.
Jared's like, you're breaking my only giving 10s out now.
How do we go from Alien and everything else? You know, I never saw Noah. Is that what he did? No, he did Moses. I never saw Moses.
Exodus. Gods and
Kings. Is that it?
That's the name of it.
Wasn't it a Moses movie?
It
though?
Is a Moses movie. Yes, yeah. Christian Bale playing Moses.
I forgot that was fucking
Joel Edgerton is the Pharaoh. So,
I'm sure this is on par with that.
That movie was terrible. I forgot that was Ridley Scott. Holy shit.
No, it's not terrible. And like, wait, hold up. Sigourney Weaver's the Queen of Egypt.
Yeah.
Wow. Can we do that one next week? Just do all terrible Ridley Scott films.
Oh my god. But whatever, man. That one was at least I thought that would I didn't fall asleep with that one.
Damn.
All right, who's going next?
I'll go. It was it's pretty to look at sometimes, and there's some interesting moments sometimes, and otherwise it's just really boring and should not have been made. There's a recycled storyline, and god, it's not even interesting. Like you could, if like, just remake it with the same script that, like, don't make it worse. I don't know. I didn't hate myself watching it. So I'm going to be more generous when I rate it, because I was just like really, really bored. So I'm going to give it a 5. I don't recommend it unless, I don't know, you really enjoy watching like ancient Roman, like, sets and costumes and stuff that, you know, that's worth something, I think.
All right, so we got 6 and a 5. All right, Greg, do you want to go next? You want to go last?
Yeah, I went into this with pretty low expectations. I actually only heard about the fact that it was happening like a couple months ago, or like when it was like almost coming out, and I was like, oh cool, I guess that's gonna be a thing. And then I didn't think about it, and then I watched it, and then I didn't think about it again. I wanted to like this going into it. I think it has all of the elements that we want something like this to be. Like, if you're going to do another return to a universe, I hate that it's a fucking universe now. I like that it's Ridley Scott, but like, I don't know. Is the dude just like losing his touch? Is he surrounded by too many yes men? Does he just revisit some of the same themes too well? Like, did he just not have enough conversations with the writer? I don't know. This movie felt really flat for me. It felt like it was at most of the time trying to be things that the movie itself didn't want to be. And I think that's if I could nail one thing down that I don't like, it's that in the writing, it's that the movie doesn't know what it needs to be, and it's trying too hard to be a repeat of the original Gladiator without being an exact copy of it, and it's just missing all the marks that it should be going for. I think there were a lot of set pieces in this that I really enjoyed. The ships in the middle of the fucking arena was pretty cool. Some of the visual effects of the creature effects weren't quite, they were a little too animate-y, so that kind of took me out of the movie a lot, especially with the baboons and the monkeys. Some of the fights were cool, like the opening scene when we see fucking Pedro Pascal being a badass, that was the Gladiator that I wanted to see. And the fact that the movie came out swinging like that, I was like, dope. All right. This is the same. Like, we're probably going to do the same story. Like, they're starting with the battle scene and we're establishing two different sides. It's really interesting. And then it didn't fucking go anywhere with it. Like, I was like, where was that energy for the rest of the movie? And I don't mean like, oh, it has to stay at like a battle scene pace. I mean like the intrigue of like we're taking a concept that you're familiar with and we're doing something different. That's what I wanted this thing to do. And then it just became the same movie, but like watered down. I think Brian said it well. Like they gave two big roles and split them up into like five characters and expected that to be just as interesting for the audience. And maybe it was better for the actors to portray those characters, but it was fucking boring. I don't know. Maybe this is the kind of learning experience that 40 years into an amazing career, Ridley Scott still learns shit. I think we're all filmmakers trying things and sometimes shit doesn't work. I think this is an example of shit not working. It's really pretty to look at. I think it was shot very interestingly. There's a fuck ton of production design. I was bored as hell. I'm going to give it a 5. It's worth seeing. It's not worth having watched.
6, 5, and 5. Yeah, I guess I'm going to be nice. I'll come in at 5. Sure, why not? It's a really boring, forgettable action film. And that's, I think the worst thing is the lead actor is fucking terrible. His character's bad written. The actor is just no charisma, not sane. It just fucking, I feel like every line's cue card readings. And just his smiles are fake. And just hated that guy so fucking much. And then when they kill off Pedro Pascal, it's just like the movie just is never able to recover any kind of interest for me at all. Like walking out of the film, I guess the best way I can summarize my enjoyment is I was getting more enjoyment and satisfaction out of watching Denzel Washington make bets with an old fucking senator. I was having more fun watching that than fucking Roman Colosseum battles. What? How is that possible?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good description.
And it's like fucking, that's 90 seconds of this 2.5 hour movie. But yeah, that's why it's kind of boring. Next time, give the fucking movie stars the fucking roles. I don't, you know, like, God.
Where the original was a masterpiece of grit, vengeance, and sweeping drama, the sequel feels like it's been cobbled together from a last-minute brainstorm of, what if we just added sharks? Rotten Tomatoes brings in Gladiator 2 with a 71% tomato meter and an 83% popcorn meter.
Wow.
That's higher than it deserves.
It is. That's just nostalgia.
Yeah, yeah, that's, no shit. That's ridiculous. I
expected
yep.
at least a
60,
65 tops.
We'll be coming in on IMDb rates it a 6.9 out of 10.
That's still nice. Really
still
high.
Still very high.
So with that, you've been listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by sending us an email to moviecrewpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, X, Instagram @MovieCrewPod. Jared, where can the audience follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram @CheckTheGate.
Griggs, where can they follow you?
I'm on Instagram @GriggsyMedia. That's GRIGGSY Media.
And Kristen, where can they follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram @KristenMagdalene. That's Kristen with a K and an I.
And you can find me on X @Elkins Edits. And I don't, you know, we'll close out the show with some Gladiator score. I didn't listen to it because it was all repeated bullshit without the Pirates of the Caribbean music. Where was that? Where?
Yeah, they took out the fun part. Like, I was so disappointed.
That's because if they played that in the theater, everyone would be like, oh, Pirates.
There's been 5 of those now, guys. You can't repeat that.
Strength and honor.
Ha 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 ha!